Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Ooh, all right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 262. Is that right?
Or
63. Anywho, it's one of those.
It's one of those.
This is Jorge.
This is the Birdman, baby, because I'm fly in any weather.
So he did prepare something special. Okay.
He did. You fucked up, Rhett.
Fucked up, as usual. this is Rhett.
And Matthew? We have a special guest today.
I'm the special guest.
Can you please introduce him, por favor?
That right there, that's the homie Tom.
That's the homie
Tom. You may know him as
the former
United States champion.
Former
Money in the Bank winner. The former GM of Raw. The man who retired Kurt Angle.
All true.
And San Diego's favorite son and the current reigning king of the WWE, although his reign has here.
For there is only King Sam.
Mr. Baron Corbin, Tom Pestock.
What's up? And my reign still holds true here.
I see you
in my video. These people can't see you, but your arms are looking a little skinny.
Bro,
you might be suffering.
Look at that
quarantine lifestyle. Yeah, you're in fourth place right now on this jet.
I wore no sleeves just so I could flex on you. That's Rhett did too.
No. I was just being comfortable.
At least
I want to go put on a t-shirt.
Vein in there showing up. He had one vein that came to the party. I saw it. Look at that.
It's like right there.
It's the one in my forehead. Yeah.
I definitely got veins up here for sure.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's weird being the only non-bald guy in this chat.
We got you, George.
Got him.
Is that what it is? You wear the hat all the time because you're bald?
Oh, yeah. It's part of it
because my head burns easily, man.
No, this fucking Jorge. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't. Are you bald?
I mean, baldish.
Let me. Can we see?
Nah.
Okay, fine.
So, anywho, guys, how's it going? How's it going?
It's good. Cool. It's quarantine life.
Yeah, I was gonna. I hate to.
I love it.
I always hate to bust into wrestling talk with you because I'm a fucking moron when it comes to wrestling. But what's the sentiment around the WWE right now? Like, how's it? What's going on?
I mean, I think it's really, you know, everybody's enjoying it a little bit. I mean, being in front of no crowds is hard, and like we love to be in front of people. That's what we, you know, go to perform for. But we're still providing entertainment for people that are at home. It's a different atmosphere. But a lot of guys, like for me, dude. I haven't been home this much in 7 years. So for me, like I'm getting quality time with my family and that's to me is pretty cool. So you're getting to really invest in your family. And then, you know, we're working every, you know, week we're putting on a show for Fox and a show for USA. And so you're, you know, getting to put a lot of your energy into one show versus, you know, four. So it's just different, but, you know, I'm taking advantage of the time at home.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly feel the same way in terms of our careers are not comparable in any respect, but I have taken the time off as kind of like, hey, slow down a little bit and spend time with your family, stupid.
Yeah.
And it's been really nice.
It's been great, right?
Yeah.
Alcohol consumption might be up a little bit, but
these guys don't know anything about that.
Still growing strong, man. Almost 11 months.
Wow.
Still going. Yeah.
Coming up on six years soon.
Gosh.
Yeah, I had a bigger problem. So yeah. if my alcohol consumption went up proportionate to my family interaction, it would mean bad things. Bad things would happen for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife just puts me to bed when I've had too much. She's just like, it's time for you to go to sleep. And I just go, okay.
Okay.
You know, I'm drinking. Since George did bring up wrestling, with the, you know, the quarantine going on, they're having to do more innovative things to, you know, to present the story. So they're starting to do a lot more of these cinematic style matches.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel about those? Because like, I know you've told me you want to be
awesome.
Yeah, you've told me you want to be in a horror movie. So like, you kind of have. I have seen you attempt to murder at least three people. No.
Two in one night,
threw them off buildings. Yeah. And then another one, he threw a guy off like a high balcony. But it's so much more effective now when you can get these cuts in there, you know, because it feels more like a movie. So like, is that something you're into?
I love it. It's just different. Like it's fresh, you know, it's watching. I mean, if you watch WWE and you're used to seeing a live audience and then you're going to no audience, it was almost a difficult transition. Like to watch because it is different. You're hearing different sounds. There are moments of silence, which is weird. People don't like silence. I'm fine with it. You know, but like even in this movie we're going to talk about today, there's moments of silence where it's just kind of like, okay, what's next? But the you know, ability to watch it on TV and be into it is a little bit more difficult. So now you're adding this cinematic side where you're having some sound effects and some cuts and it's a little more up-tempo. I think it's awesome. I think I would love if they did like four of these a year as network specials. Not anything that is played to an audience once we get audiences back, but only on the network. Like let's say Halloween's coming up and they do a Halloween horrors match, like where dudes are fighting through a haunted house.
Ooh.
Like that'd be awesome to watch.
They kind of did something like that, but I feel like they could do it a lot better now.
Yeah, we've learned a lot.
Am I hearing it right? Like during these matches, they're like intersplicing like little pieces of pre-scripted show. Is that what's going on?
You need to go and watch.
It's all taped now.
I'm saying if you want to see a cool one, Money in the Bank was awesome, but I think the Graveyard match was unbelievable.
Fuck yeah. That Boneyard match.
You need to show him that match.
Oh, I tried.
Understand, like.
Hey, I didn't hear anything, Matthew. I didn't hear anything about a Graveyard match, brother.
But I have talked about it on the show. Check the tape.
I think he has, George, actually. I mean,
has he? Oh, shit.
Because it was.
But I was aware. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rhett.
Go ahead, sorry. No, I was aware that they were shooting it more cinematically because they didn't have the crowd. So. Do you think that's something that they will stick around with a little more after?
I hope so. I feel like people are into it. I feel like I said, it's just something different because when we go back to being with audiences, it will go back to, but I don't want to lose the stuff we've had to learn. And plus I think that a lot of this is going to make guys a lot better because you're having to be able to adapt. And like, you know, everybody wants to kind of dabble in Hollywood, I think at some point in their wrestling career, because you know, your body can only take so much Now being out there and doing these kind of things with no crowd kind of gives you a taste of what being in Hollywood would be like, because you don't have that instant gratification that we're used to. You know, they got to wait for their movie to drop to find out if people like it or not.
Right.
It's true. Sure.
It's another thing.
And movies are not coming out right now. So you guys have got a distinct advantage right now.
They're not. I think we're crushing everybody because, I mean, UFC just put on an event, but other than that, there's no real live content. I mean, we're the only company providing live content.
Plus, I feel like if you watch two guys fight with like no sound, it just kind of feels a little weird. Like for UFC, you know?
UFC was wild. Like if you watch, there was one of the fights, like you hear a lot more of the stuff, which for me, being a guy who likes the fighting and not just the entertainment of it, like I appreciate the style. Like you're hearing things and hearing breathing and hearing coaching and there's a fight. The dude is pummeling the dude's face, and he's like, "Sorry, man. It's just business. It's just business." Like
that feels more fucked up.
The one fighter was like, "I think my teeth are falling out," and his corner was like, "Yeah, dude, shake it off," or some shit like that.
But that you hear things you wouldn't hear over the crowd, bro.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Couldn't do it. No thanks. Don't want to lose my teeth anymore.
Yeah, right. Hey, Tom.
Better watch talking all that shit.
Yeah.
Dog, me and you, Mania 40, it is on, dog. I had to stop training to fight you so I could fight an old foe called depression, but I won that fight. I'm coming back, dog.
Who helped you win it?
You think you self got him? You think you won against depression?
I've won the fight. The war is ongoing.
There we go.
The fight.
Oh shit! Hey Tom, have you in the last recent past have you watched anything worth mentioning?
I started the Wolf Creek TV show because I got I had a few drinks one night and purchased a year subscription to Shudder since Matt wasn't giving me his password anymore.
Dog. I gave it to you. They had fucked up. George had the same problem, dog. George had the same problem.
I did.
I was like, I'm tired of waiting on him, so I got it.
Our friendship is going to dissolve over me not having a Shudder anymore.
I haven't been watching a ton of horror because I've been home, and my wife is not crazy about horror movies. So it's cut into my time because I'm usually watching them on the road, you know, on long drives or in hotel rooms. There's a movie I want to watch on Shudder where the guy's like offering money or something if you can prove to him ghosts exist. It's on Shudder. It's supposed to be good. I'm going to look right now because I feel dumb.
Hey, we got plenty, dude. Nothing but time.
I just watched The Platform.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I enjoyed it, actually.
So did we.
I thought that the whole, oh, it's called We Go On. It's supposed to be good.
Okay.
Yeah, so check that out on Shudder, I guess. Kevin Owens put that over to me. Huge.
It's from 2016. Okay, cool.
So, but The Platform, interesting concept. It's true. People are shitty and selfish. So, but it was wild too, because like even the lady who was the administrator that went into the cell, like there's plenty of food for everybody. And there's like, there's 350 something floors. There's not plenty of food. Like, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. Even if everybody had shared exactly the right portion, it still would have been really fucked up at the end.
Yeah. No chance. So sure. it was wild.
What'd you think of that ending?
It was okay. I don't know. Like, I get the little kid was the sign or whatever, which I liked when they were like, defend the panna cotta. Like, that was awesome because it was pretty wild. Yeah. And
see, I'm tapping my nose, meaning he's on the fucking nose, because that's exactly what I said. Panna cotta was worth it. The kid, it's like, they're not going to get that message. It's like, how's there a fucking kid on here?
He didn't say shit about panna cotta.
Bullshit. Check the tape, motherfucker. Check the tape.
Hey, Matt keeps saying to check the tape when he knows we won't check the tape.
I'll go check the tape.
Yeah.
I know that fucking episode, and I know I talked about the Boneyard match right after WrestleMania, so I know what episode that would be too, motherfucker.
I'm gonna ring
you the fuck out. Because that panna cotta, I was like, you know what? That panna cotta is legit, because they're like, it makes it all the way down and nobody's eating it. That comes up and that is intentional.
That'll mess with all the cooks. I mean, because the dude lost his mind about the hair in the food.
Yep.
Right.
So like this
kid,
perfect
but I also
thing.
Didn't understand the kid gimmick, because the mom's legit going from the floor 2 or 5 or 4, or whatever it is, way up high, all the way to the bottom. So, or does she never make it to the bottom? Is that the gimmick?
I don't know. Yeah, the little girl's just hiding.
The kid's on 350. So how is he still alive?
Yeah, she ever would have been able to make it to the bottom at that point. Because, I mean, by floor 350, she's either dead or it's the next day.
Well, yeah,
she was riding the platform all the way down.
Yeah.
I mean, they rode it down in a day.
Yeah, but look how haggard and fucked up they were at the end, you know, like that's why they couldn't
ice and people too.
That's yeah, she was. Yeah,
she was a lot more efficient at it too. They got pretty good by the end of it, but
so
yeah, no, I agree completely.
And my thought process on that too is she wasn't withholding food from anybody, she was just quietly sitting on the table. They were like, you can't eat more than 7 spinach leaves. Like, yeah, bro, we're going to fight.
Yeah, we're gonna have words, motherfucker.
Do you see how big I am?
Matt, you wouldn't last like, well, how many floors do you think you would last, Matt?
Wait, if I had to go down? But
yeah.
I mean, you gotta like explain. Do you mean like how much food would be enough? Cause like,
are you protecting the panna cotta, bro?
Bro, I'm gonna eat that fucking panna cotta. I ain't trying to
shove it in his face.
Look at me. Do I look like I'm trying to send a message to anybody, Doug? The only message also, that I'm trying to say
cool
is
concept. I don't care. Hey, you can go to prison for 100 years or you can spend a year in the tower. I'm gonna take the tower, man.
Yeah, take your chances in
not
the tower.
Not knowing that it's way worse than prison.
Yeah, because at least in prison you get 3 squares, right?
Yeah, right.
How often did it switch? Every week? Every month?
Month. Every 30 days.
Every 30 days. So,
but
yeah,
if you're past 50, I mean, you're screwed, so your odds are not good. In a year, you might see a plus 50 level maybe once.
True, maybe twice.
I like when they wake up and you see like 3 people jump.
That's
I think that would be my bit, dude. I think I would probably just jump.
You would just jump.
Yeah, I'm over it. I can't eat food with pee on it. I'm going down.
I'm gonna yeet myself out of this existence. Oh shit. Oh, Riggedy man. Rhett, what's up with you, homie? Rhett, seen anything? Oh no, he's frozen.
He's sitting over there posing.
Yeah, you.
Me?
He was looking at himself in the camera.
I'm hearing some distortion. I'm hearing some distortion on my end here. You guys hearing that or no?
No.
Yes. I feel a great disturbance.
Oh yeah.
Hi, Sophia.
It's probably all those fucking crystals.
It might be them warping the 5G.
You're a fucking robot right now, dude.
So you are hearing
just
it
now that because you really haven't been saying much.
Well, there you go. Okay. I watched Eraserhead.
Okay. Oh,
have you seen Eraserhead, Matt or Jorge?
I have seen it. Tom, it's have you old, seen Eraserhead?
Right?
80s?
Okay.
80s? Oh, it's
old. Yeah, 1977.
Okay. Yeah.
77. Yeah, and
I'm a big Kramer from Seinfeld.
Fuck yeah, I've got a confession. I have never watched Eraserhead. Like, I had a buddy, you know, Carlos George. He tried to show me Eraserhead and we were all fucked up. And so if you're fucked up, that's not the movie to watch, you know, just for anyone listening. But yeah, that movie's great, dude. That's in fact one of my favorite David Lynch movies now, having seen it. But then we were like in this zone, we were gonna watch something goofy afterwards.
Did you watch Prayer of the Roller Boys?
No, motherfucker, I did not watch Prayer of the Roller Boys yet.
I even streamed it so you could fucking watch it.
No, Eraserhead put us in this zone, and I was like, and then I had told her about 2001: A Space Odyssey. So we watched Eraserhead and 2001 back to back.
And then
she was in Kubrick land. So I wanted to show her Dr. Strangelove. So we watched Dr. Strangelove, and she was not a fan of Dr. Strangelove. So I gotta say, have you seen that one, Matt, or no?
Doctor Strangelove?
Yeah,
I watched it for my film class this semester.
What'd you think of Doctor Strangelove, Matt?
He fucking probably didn't like it.
I remember not liking it. That's about it.
Big fucking surprise.
Yeah.
Is it better than Green Inferno?
I mean, yes, because everything is better than Green Inferno. You know, it's funny because Rhett hasn't seen Green Inferno, and we were just talking about that like last week.
Yeah, we were.
Just a crybaby.
I'm a crybaby. You don't like a Dark Song. Dark Song is fucking brilliant.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
He's not a fan. You're not a fan of that one, huh?
No.
I was like, I told him, I'm like, bro, you gotta watch this fucking movie.
By the time something happened, it just didn't matter. Something was happening.
I got you. Too slow burn for you. I got you.
I like slow burn, but that was like, holy shit! Come on.
Yeah. All the ritual magic talk got me because I'm like, I like that. Yeah. So it would be hard for me, you know. That's one where I like it too, but still. Yeah.
Tom's like, yeah, I like slow burn. I like ritual magic and I like, you know, random jack-off
scenes. That's not the issue.
That's not the problem.
And then, yeah, that was some heroic jacking off that guy did in that movie, by the way. That was great. That was really, really good of him. People who haven't seen it have no fucking clue what that means.
But, that was pretty skeezy.
Yeah. The Big Lebowski.
Lebowski.
She hadn't seen Big Lebowski, so we watched that. And then for good measure, we did Zootopia and Inside Out. So,
oh my god. Nice.
Hey, both of those movies are hella tight.
I watched Mulan for the first time ever yesterday.
Oh, hell yeah. What you think? Yeah,
hell
dude.
Fucking yeah. That music, that's good.
Fantastic. Plus, I was like, yo, this is for little kids, and we got samurais killing fools and blowing dudes up. I was like, the main guy is scary.
The fucking
like,
Huns.
If I'm like an 8-year-old kid, the Huns are terrifying.
Yep. Dude, and it's got one of the best Disney songs of all time, dude.
Be a man.
Fuck.
Dude, yeah.
You must be strong as a coursing river.
Well the live action one has no songs and no Mushu.
Nope.
That shit's a mistake. That's a mistake.
Fucking mistake.
Yeah, you watched like, it just why, in why time for the remake.
Could you imagine a Goofy movie live action with no fucking songs?
Throwing rock.
What's the Goofy movie? What's the fucking point?
Goofy live action would look horrifying by himself. Like,
dude.
Like a fucking photorealistic Goofy? What the hell is that? Yeah.
Super elongated nose and big old floppy ears still.
Was I doing this bit when we spoke last time? If you could take any movie and replace everyone with Muppets except for one character, what movie would you pick?
Are you telling Tom or us?
Because I was telling Tom, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, we've done it like 10 times.
Yeah, we have. It's a good bit.
Yeah, man, that's tough.
It's like a Rorschach test.
I'm gonna fail. I don't know.
Well, just to give you an
thing is, there's no fail. Like I picked a Serbian film where like everyone is Muppets except for Milos, so he's just running around fucking and killing Muppets for an hour and a half.
I picked Face Off, and everybody except for Nick Cage was a Muppet.
That's a pretty good choice.
I had Schindler's List, and it was everyone except Ralph Fiennes. So
just sending Muppets to the gulag.
Yeah.
What a game, too, by the way.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
Warzone,
dude.
Warzone, so good.
Matt and I have been playing.
We just started playing, yeah.
Yep. We'll get in there. We'll get in there with you, Tom, one of these days. You're probably better than we are, though.
I have my moments.
Well, you've been playing since the Modern Warfare came out, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, you moved to PC, huh? No PS4 anymore?
No, I'm on all of them.
Oh, shit.
But I got Overwatch on PC because I was playing with Matt, my buddy Matt. I know a lot of Matts, by the way.
So do I, dude.
Matt from Trivium.
Oh, you just throw that in there?
Lead singer, dude. Yeah, you know. So, yeah, we've been playing together.
Oh, you know Danny from Tool. You know, we're cool.
Yeah. Fucking Robert Plant from
Who's your guitar teacher, Tom?
It's Matt from Trivium. He's my helper.
Wow.
My helper.
He sent me one of his custom guitars, and I was like, dude, I got to be honest. I wouldn't even know how to plug it in. He's like, all right, we'll teach you.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice, man. Nice. Hey, Matthew, what about you? Homie, watched anything?
So I watched a French movie on Netflix called Get In.
Ooh, did you still want to do it for an episode maybe, Matt?
Were we talking about doing that? Because
we
like,
were. I read about it today, too, home invasion shit, right?
I kind of have a lot of things to say about that movie.
Oh, shit.
So should I just, like, save that then?
Save
or are we going to
for an episode.
Okay. Hey, doesn't mean they're bad, dude. Doesn't mean they're bad things.
Okay. Usually with you it is.
They might be fucking bad things, though, dude. Like, maybe.
Well, either or. Yeah, both of those dude are entertaining.
Tom is not wrong, dude. Usually when you're like, I've got things to say, it's never like, oh, well, the cinematography and the acting and the esprit de corps.
The art direction is fantastic.
You know what's funny is when I have a lot of friends that like horror movies, and they're like, well, you know, tell us some good ones. And I'm like, well, my buddy Matt told me to watch this, but you got to understand, he's very selective, very critical, hates a lot of good movies, so...
Dog.
I always have to, like, there's a preface to when I'm telling someone you suggested a movie.
Disclaimer.
Have like you know when you open a book and there's like five pages of things that tells you before you read the book? Like
yeah,
that's what I go through with you.
That's right. You got to give a disclaimer for Matt picks.
Yes.
That's right. Hell yeah, yeah, me too.
See, but then, like, if you see some of the shit that I do like, yeah.
You're nodding your head as if we're supposed to be like, oh, you're right, brother.
You do. You know. I mean, like, because I like shit that's all over the place. But the thing is, like, I watch a fuckload of horror movies. Like, I watch a lot of movies, and I see the same shit a lot.
We can say it.
You know what? I know what I like.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
I know what I like.
Because you don't... It's not a bad thing because you don't, like, talk people out of watching stuff. If you're like, hey, man, it wasn't for me, but go watch it and let me know what you think. I'll tell you you're wrong, but go watch it and...
Yeah, there's a few movies where I'm like, that's a piece of shit. Don't watch it.
A few?
See, okay, so Tom, we did a Patreon on RoboCop recently.
Okay. This,
Matt had never seen
RoboCop. If he doesn't like RoboCop, we're no longer friends.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you not like... And why would Matt not like RoboCop? Like, what's not what's not to like? You know, but he fucking thought it was boring. He thought it was boring and it was dumb and the tone was all over the place.
I'm bored out of my mind.
And you liked the Dark Song?
Yeah, dog. Got it.
RoboCop is America.
I was bored out of my mind, dog. How?
Dude, he gets shot like 400 times. He gets his hand blown off.
Yeah.
And he shoots a guy in the dick. That was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ed 209.
All of those things happened.
The big robot at the end, like, yeah, the 209.
The inner spliced commercials, the terrible acting, the cringy dialogue.
What?
But that's the thing, it wasn't endearing. Like shit.
Remember when you said you want to keep all your teeth? There goes one.
Oh.
Like, no, man. I mean, for real. So, like, I just had a great Bloodsucker Jones. Bloodsucker Jones is a giant turd of a movie. But I love that movie. And RoboCop does not scratch that itch for me. I still feel as though it is turdish in its shape.
Fuck off.
But it's just
I'm sorry to bring this up, but it's a really good example.
I'm over here when Matt fucking has his watch August Underground. I'm like, well, you know, it's not really for me. You know, this motherfucker, when it's RoboCop, he goes, piece of shit.
Unreal.
Hey.
Unfucking real. You're right.
Sometimes you gotta lean into the gimmick.
That's what it is.
Almost as bad as me not liking Metallica and having to defend the fact that I don't like Metallica.
No, it's okay. You don't have to like Metallica.
It sounds normal here.
Yeah.
This is a safe place.
It is a safe place. And I'm on board with Injustice for All and Master of Puppets, but it's still a safe place. I get it. Yeah.
Good stuff.
I can't wait to hear what you have about our movie today.
Oh, that's right. I have some things to say. I also watched I, Tonya, which
that's a great movie.
Yeah. Tonya Harding's life is fucking tragic.
Bro, turn her into the good guy.
Yep.
I don't remember all of the way that shit went down. But like
Nancy Kerrigan came off kind of like a cunt in that movie. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, dude.
Well, knowing that Tonya didn't even know about it and she was like, bro, I just want to skate. I'm like, well, fuck, man, you caught a really raw deal just because you're like, you know, trailer trash.
Kind of a redneck. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can identify with that, right, Matt?
That's a fucking bummer. Dog, I'm white trash to the core. Look at this.
It's a prime example of like, once you get the rest of the story, you know, like I had no fucking clue either. You know, if any of that is accurate. I kind of don't even like Nancy Kerrigan, you know. So
you know what? Should have fucking knocked both of her goddamn movies. Teach her a lesson for being an uppity bitch.
I'd be saying, there you go. You say that stuff. We have a guest, so I'm refraining from that stuff. Yes.
Tom knows.
Okay. Good.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and then I watched Prayer of the Roller Boys.
Okay, you're doing a thing now.
You hosted it.
No, I did watch it. I know,
but you're doing a thing now. You're watching it every week in hopes that Rhett will.
No, I've only watched it the one time in the last like 10 years, but it was that time.
Okay.
Yeah, it still holds up. Still,
what fucking it holds bananas. Up as
what?
A post-apocalyptic rollerblading film?
Have you seen Prayer of the Roller Boys?
I have not.
Have you even heard of it?
No.
So it's like a movie that came out in 1990 starring Corey Haim and Patricia Arquette. Okay. And it's like a post-apocalyptic world where gangs are like rollerbladers in trench coats with machine guns. And they make a drug called Mist. And
hey, you know what you're you know what you're describing, Matt?
RoboCop 2?
You're describing RoboCop 2,
but without the rollerblades and more fucking gore.
Yeah. Hey,
but that's exactly the thing. You don't get synchronized fucking skating, dude. Like so it's way cooler.
It is pretty cool.
You're
though.
Such a shithead.
It's hell, it's high, man.
Oh fuck, it can't be any worse than what I was watching though.
Was it more Fear of the Walking Dead?
More yeah. Fear of the Walking Dead, boys. I'm so far in. I can't even.
Your
I can't even stand it.
So gross.
Oh, what? Dude,
I quit Walking Dead season 2.
I'm so dude. I'm so in right now. It's I'm in the weeds. I'm in the weeds right now.
That's terrible.
It's
anything,
crazy.
Anything else to temper that fucking situation? Anything? Just that. No.
No. I've been rewatching other things, but Fear of the Walking Dead is the only like new thing I've been watching.
What'd you rewatch?
I watched Pacific Rim for the 15th time, probably.
All right.
I watched because I'm going to be jumping on Jacob Denton's podcast coming up here soon. I rewatched Dead Rising because he's going to be doing an underwater / boat horror show, which I want.
Oh, Deep Rising. Up.
Yeah,
Rising. I was like Dead Rising. Like.
Dead Rising, no, Deep Rising. Sorry. Going down that path, the water horror movies. So yeah.
Nice.
Pacific Rim is good though.
Hell, fucking yeah, it is.
The second one was but the first one was great.
Didn't they get like a different writer for the second one?
They got different director.
They got a different everything for the second one. Man.
It's not Guillermo del Toro directing it or any of that. Yeah.
No. So,
or Idris Elba canceling the apocalypse or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Matthew.
Saw, dude.
Any news that we should get to, dude?
You know, I didn't really want to do news, but there was one cool thing that I saw going on. So, you know, theaters are closed everywhere and drive-ins are still open. And there is a horror movie that has topped the box office for the last 2 weeks because it's being shown in drive-ins. It's called The Wretched. It was shown at Telluride Horror Show last year. I did not get to see it because I watched something else.
Don't you feel dumb, man.
Hey, I might have been watching Mutant Blast. And if, you know, I was, then you'll get my opinion on that later.
Don't you feel dumb?
I think that's pretty cool that, you know, a low budget horror movie that probably would have gone like straight to Shudder is having an opportunity to, you know, lead the box office for 2 weeks in a row, maybe even three by this point.
As it stands right now, because of this mess, the biggest box office film of the year is Bad Boys for Life.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. So I hope Christopher Nolan's Tenet comes out when it was planned and just fucking destroys everything. But yeah.
Tom's you're in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he's a Bad Boy for Life, dude.
I liked it. Not gonna lie.
The reviews weren't bad. I just
you're not a fan, dude. When I mentioned I was gonna watch it, you're like, what are you doing?
I thought Martin Lawrence stole the show in this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he was my favorite part of the other ones anyways.
Plus not my guilty pleasure, but one of my super guilty music pleasures is reggaeton. So it's all of the Spanish hip hop and Nicky Jam is in the movie. So I was like, that's cool. Because all these, you know, Spanish rappers are like getting major breaks and all kinds of stuff.
Fuck yeah, they are, dude. I've been seeing a lot of like Cuban and Mexican rappers on Instagram just absolutely destroying. It's wild.
Yeah.
I heard about Bad Bunny because of you.
He's on a cover of Rolling Stones, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. I heard about him from you like a year ago.
He's awesome, too. I heard about him from like a 9-year-old kid on a plane like 4 years ago.
What the fuck?
That's what I said. I was like, yo, who's letting you listen to this?
Super.
All he's going to be all big.
All Tom heard from the fucking, from the headphones was like, da ba da 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 ba da 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 ba da 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 da. And he was like, I'm in.
Did he, did he recognize you or did, was he just like talking to you because you're there?
No, we were just chatting, man. And I was like, well, you know, what do you want to do for a living? He's like, oh, I want to be Instagram famous. And I was like, no, you don't. It's not a real job.
That's no, you don't.
And I said, well, are you, he's like, well, I'm into music. And I was like, what kind? Who are some artists? And he's like, this dude, Bad Bunny's coming out. And I was like, so I like had the plain Wi-Fi. So I got the song and I was like, yo, I was like, this is good. But you're like nine. Like, this is not appropriate for you.
Oh, dude, speaking of that type of music, have you heard this fucking coronavirus song on Spotify?
Oh, man.
Rona. That was.
I'll send it to you, Tom. It's unbelievably good.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
It was almost 2 months ago when you were putting it on your house, George. And
yeah.
Things took a dark turn like a week after that, didn't they? They just fucking
they sure did, dude.
Who is yeah? Jesus,
back when this was all a joke.
Yeah, we were still kidding around about the coronavirus, and all of a sudden next week we didn't have a show anymore.
Yeah,
I mean we still have a show. Just
we still have it's just not from
far away.
We didn't physically exist anymore.
Well, that's also because California is a cesspool.
Dun, dun, dun. I mean, you're not wrong. Hey, and look, it took a global pandemic to open George up to getting guests on remotely again.
I still don't like it.
Well, deal with it.
But if it'll get you here, Tom, yeah. I'm in. Oh, shit. All right. Well, if that's it for news, then we can move on to our movie.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Everybody good with that? We don't need to take a break. Fuck a break. Breaks are for losers.
Yeah.
You'll just splice one in right there.
Yeah, right there. Hey, Matt.
Saw it, dude.
What's up with the Patreon, homie?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is how we continue to do this show and why we continue to do this show during the quarantine. Because, you know, you guys help us, you guys support us, and we want to give something back to you because otherwise we all got better shit to do. But well,
once you air this episode, send me it and I'll put it on my Patreon and link it to you guys.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast.
I like it.
Yeah. You're the only one, Rhett. You're the only one.
I'm the only one. What? What happened?
That doesn't like the D.
Me?
Yeah.
I fucking am the D. That's all I talk about is the D. Wait a minute. We have a guest. I have to maintain composure.
He's smiling. Look, he likes it.
Yeah, he's smiling. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. You get bonus content, exclusive episodes, and you get to help us continue doing this awesome show. So let's get it.
Quick shout out to newest homie, Ashley Jones. Ashley motherfucking Jones.
We got a few.
Not since last episode, but it's been Ashley Jones since last episode. Hi, homie. Welcome to the team.
Hello.
Welcome. That's right.
Anything else? Anything else, Matthew?
No, that's Patreon, dog.
All right. Well, I'm trying to just delay before I can find this movie that we watched.
You know, we've done almost 300 episodes, and you would think that he would have like the information for the episode pulled up.
I even bumped this a half hour.
True. Well, you bumped it like 10 minutes.
Extra half hour.
You bumped it like 10 minutes, and Rhett wrote it the other 20.
Hey, got him. All right.
I think it's part of the structure that you say that you're delaying for the info. You know, like you actually have it, but you're like delaying it. You say you're delaying it.
Hey, Rhett, everything's a bit, dude. Everything.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So anyway, the Who Goes Are podcast. Watched 2018's, 2020's, depending on what year you're watching it. Mutant Blast, directed by Fernando Alay, also written by Fernando, and co-writer Adrian Cardona, starring Pedro Barrao Diaz, Maria Leite, Cao Villas, Mario Villaverio, Joaquim Guerrero, Wanda R. Rodriguez, and Hi, Sofia. That's Mutant Blast, Matt Smith.
No, I feel like we should let our guest go first.
Should we let Tom go first? Hey, Tom, what'd you think of
Yo. The What I think?
Yeah.
I liked it. Very simple put. But I also, I liked, like, Nuke'em High. And I like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Turbo Kid. Like, yeah. So I was into it. Like, and I popped out loud a few times. And it's hard to make me, like, legit laugh out loud. And this did it a couple times.
Okay, okay.
Like, brother, when his pinky fell off, I probably laughed for 5 minutes. Like, I mean, come on. Like, I didn't know what to expect at first, especially when it opened and the dude is flexing for, like, 15 minutes straight.
Yeah, dude, that guy, I don't know how he did it, dude.
Invisible lat syndrome.
Making me tired. I didn't know where it was going to go, and then it took some really fun turns.
Cool.
It all started with the him falling asleep. And having the daydream fighting the goblins. I thought the situation when he wake up was going to be a little different than that. But that's when I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. This is going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think for a movie like that, you can't have any expectations or take it too serious. And you'll enjoy
George.
It.
George.
I got to be honest with you. I really like this movie. There were moments where I was like, this, what the fuck? But overall, man, this shit was super fun. It reminded me a lot, like Tom said, of Turbo Kid, but like with a little bit of like Father's Day jizz mixed in. And I had a really good time. All of it was goofy as fuck. It's not a good flick, but
Father's Day jizz.
Yeah, yeah, it's got a little bit of like a little Father's Day DNA in there. So yes, all in.
Rhett,
what about you, dude?
I fucking love this movie, actually. Yes. I loved it. I loved it to death. And I mean, when you say there's some what the fuck stuff, George, that's when the movie got better to me. Because I'm like, yeah, lean into that. Lean into the
I think when I say what the fuck, I mean that it gets a little bit dramatic at points. And I go like, this is weird tonally, but okay, cool. I'm in still.
Yeah, dude, like the fucking, you know, there's giant lobster people and rat people and dolphin people and then the dialogue. There's some like, I don't know what the budget was for this film, but it's a trauma film. So I would imagine it's pretty low. And the amount like of how fun this was and actually how kind of I know, like you said, it's not formally a good movie in a sense, but it's actually pretty character driven. I mean, I have to fucking say, like, I actually gave a fuck about what was happening. Even if it was just a lot of goofy, but very creative movie. Yeah, I've watched it twice. I watched it twice, almost back to back. I really liked it.
I actually saw that. I saw you posted it today. I'm like, he's watching it again.
Yeah.
Good for him. It should come as no surprise what I think. You want to know what a Matt movie is? This must be a clown in the fucking sewer, because this is it, homie. I love every goddamn thing about this movie. I saw this at Telluride. I could not stop yucking from like minute one. When it like goes in on homeboy's giant fucking back, I'm like, I'm in. Fuck yeah. And then it just like, it starts off at a craziness of like 7. And then it's just like, fuck it, dog. We're going to the moon on this one. All of it. Fucking gold. Yeah. I'm going to get a tattoo of a lobster in a suit fighting a fucking samurai dolphin.
I think the only thing that I could say that was a down, like a negative for you is a complete lack of tits.
Complete lack of boobs. But you know what? There's stuff going on the whole time and it's fun and it's amazing. There is, hold on. Counted.
You're so excited. I can't even handle it.
I'm so fucking like stoked that you guys all love this. Cause like George, when I talked to you last night, you were like, I've watched half of it. And Alia was like, I bet he cut out after the fucking the hand. And I was like, yo, he cut out 2 minutes after that. And she's like, yep, people are predictable.
That's a good example. When the rat hand, he's like, mommy, and all that. Dude. Like, I was laughing by myself for five or six minutes.
Rolling.
Yeah. Yep. People are predictable. She can go fucking jump off a cliff.
I had forgotten all about that hand, man. Every bit of this movie is amazing. Like, you wind, I personally wound up caring about a secondary character so much more than anybody else in the movie.
What, the rat?
Pinche Jean-Pierre.
The lobster stole the whole fucking movie.
Yeah. Bro, he went like so from the heart. He's just like reciting poetry and he's like, my Claudine. And he's got a song about returning to the sea. And like, it's just fucking flowing with emotions. And it's like, it's hilarious too.
When she's questioning him, she's like, well, were you a lobster before? Or were you near lobsters? He's like, what are you talking about? I just became a giant lobster.
Yeah.
She's like, and then they're like,
and he's like, why do you think we're so stupid? That's a stupid question.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, where'd you learn French? And it's like, I do not understand the question. I'm French. Like, yeah. I'm French, motherfucker. That's why.
Yes.
And hearing the lobster say, like, merci, you know, he's like, thank you. Seeing a giant lobster say merci, it's like, that's pretty great. Like, I didn't think I'd ever see that on film, for sure.
And I love that he has, like, a like super hatred for dolphins.
Yeah, like, you people say the dolphins.
You had a whole town at Telluride walking around screaming, dolphins are motherfuckers! Motherfuckers!
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, I gotta think that that's a little bit of like a little like anti-Hitchhiker's Guide shit, because, you know, like in Hitchhiker's Guide, like the dolphins are the really brilliant creatures on Earth.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's fucking lobsters, which okay with.
And, well, you know, if this movie is to be believed, that lobster always wore the suit.
Right, because the suit grew with him, right?
Yep. He got married in that little lobster suit. When he was in the lobster tank, he was in his little suit. So, like, he grew, the suit grew. Clearly, his vocal cords grew, so now he can, like, communicate at a pitch that we can understand.
You know what else grew, Matt?
His heart?
Our heart. Because we grew to love a lobster. You know what, dude? And as goofy and as kind of fucky as this movie is, like, that opening scene where he's trying to he's trying to remember what happened at his birthday party was kind of a brilliant piece of cinema, just because like he's remembering and he's like, oh yeah, I was taking shots, it's cool, dude, and then he remembers that there was a fucking zombie attack. Just the sort of build up to that was kind of a cool little scene. I really enjoyed it.
I love how he just like smirked to himself too when he's remembering all the dumb shit he did the night before.
It's relatable.
I mean, he doesn't realize he had a dick drawn on his face for so long. Yo, did I ever tell you about like when we used to draw on Fadik all the time? That shit was tight. Our friend Aaron, we call him Fadik because he's got a fat dick. He used to always be the first one to pass out. And so like we would always just like draw shit on him all the time and like throw flour on him. And he was just one of those dudes that was out all the time. So that dude waking up with the penis on his face and not knowing it reminded me of Fadik.
I don't know what the fuck you just said, little kid.
There's a line of dialogue where he talks about her getting a bukkake of his pus-filled sperm. that's what I mean. There's things like that that elevate this above even other low-budget B horror films. Like,
I love, too, the obsession with where the rat that grew out of his hand would poop and pee because they had no
track. Oh, yeah.
But like three different people brought that up to him, and he's like, "I don't want to think about it."
Yeah,
and they were so like analytical about it. They're like, "Well, how does his digestive system work?"
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that was good, man.
But I like the opening dude too, and it's funny because like going in, she's like, "You're not going to stick me with that again," and she's like, "Shh, just be quiet." And she starts doing it like he just made this horrible threat and then didn't do anything. He stayed still for her. And then, dude, I thought like I didn't know anything about the movie. I thought this dude was going to go through the whole movie and he's gone. Like
the big
and
Jack
the argument dude. Over who shot him. Like you tripped, but it's your gun. But like,
it's like we're both at fault. No. You're clearly at fault here.
Yeah. You're the idiot.
See, I loved a lot of those like little back and forths that they had, you know, for basically all of it. Just the little one-liners. This movie kind of felt like it was a collaborative effort with people just pitching silly ideas together and just like really embracing it. Like, you know, Tom had mentioned when he had the dream with the goblin fight, and like I took a few notes on that, like where he's haggling with the oarsmen. He's like, oh, I only got a 50. And he's like, oh, I'll take the 50. He's like, well, you know, like I'm kind of saving a princess.
Do you have change?
Yeah. He's like, I got to take the princess out to dinner. And he's like, nah, bro, 50 or nothing. And then it's like shows him with his empty wallet. And like, you feel bad for him because you're like, he's not going to be able to take the princess out. And
it's such, you know, and it's so funny too. Like that scene is so extended. It's way longer than it really needs to be. But I kind of love how ridiculous it takes it. It's kind of a goofy ass scene, but like he's fighting a goblin and then fights this shitty wizard who sucks total ass.
He's got a revolver in his back pocket. Like,
yeah, in medieval times. And he just shoots the wizard. He's like, pow, just done.
Hold up. Speaking of, there was a guardian of the lake. I think Jorge picked up on, because I saw a picture where she says, who goes there?
Yeah.
Fucking good. There you go.
23 minutes, 40 seconds. I wrote that shit down.
Wow. So,
When I watched it the first time, I noticed how many people got like their head like fucked up. You know,
a lot of head chops.
Yeah. So there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that were stomped. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that were punched off. 2 that were decapitated. 1 that was split open. And then 6 people got stabbed in the head.
Nice.
I should have done that.
The budget probably went to head stomps and the other half went to a lobster costume.
They probably went to trend for that bodybuilder.
Because that lobster costume was unbelievably complex. Like the whole head was correct. It was crazy, the whole
rat costume.
Yeah,
the rat was great.
You know, I want to know how much trauma was involved from this from the get go, because Lloyd Kaufman's in it, so they were definitely at least interested before it was finished. And I read Lloyd's book, Make Your Own Damn Movie, and he basically saves every single thing he ever uses in any movie just so he can use them again. So I think that dolphin has definitely been in like maybe Toxic Avenger 4. I don't know if he used the lobster or the rat in something else, but I wouldn't be surprised if that shit was recycled.
I almost wonder if all of the zombie stuff that
they're not zombies. There.
Right.
I wonder if
it was a bad word.
Was added in after the fact, because it almost feels tacked in. If I was to give it a descriptor, it like the middle part and the end of the movie seems so. It doesn't seem like a zombie movie kind of deal. And then you've got this really almost shoehorned, it's not the right word, but the zombie stuff feels a little bit forced to me, if you know what I mean. Does that make any sense at all?
I'm glad it didn't stick to being a zombie movie. I'm glad it just ditched those tropes.
You know what, man? They were kind of just like hydrogen bonds, you know? They kind of just weakly connected the two parts. That's all it was. It's like, we just need a little bridge to get from A to B.
Were the worst zombies ever. She like whistled and one came and she just like guided his head down to the big giant dude. Like
stole his sunglasses too.
Like the zombies.
Lots of sunglass stealing.
It's all a function of pacing. Like they need some disposable bad guys. And this is the kind of movie where disposable bad guys, they get their fucking heads cut off. So we need some zombies here to get from point A to point B, like Matt said. And yeah, I think that's what I mean. As goofy as this movie is, it's paced really well. Like it kept my attention. There was always something to be amused by. As goofy as it is too, I know it sounds stupid saying this about a trauma movie, but there is like a subtext. It at least has that trope of us being innately self-destructive, like, you know, human beings.
Well, the lobster tells us that.
Right.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah.
He just drops all kinds of philosophical shit.
Can't fix anything you destroy. I mean, look at the ocean. There's all kinds of pollution and nuclear waste.
Yeah.
The last shot too, where they're smoking, you know, and they fucking are all smoking. They start laughing. It's like, this, what the fuck are we doing? It's like,
what are you laughing at?
man, they made a lot of cancer jokes in this movie. Like a lot.
Yeah, they sure did, man. Yeah.
And I'm a big advocate of cancer jokes. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say cancer.
Oh, no, well, you know, it depends. You know, I don't want to exclude anybody, so.
You know? You want to be inclusive of cancer?
Well, anyway.
I liked her growing the ear on her neck, and she's like, "That's gross. I'm chopping it off." And he's like, "Yeah, this is way worse. I have a giant rat on my hand."
So, of all of the mutations that we saw, what do you guys think is the worst? Like that you could have personally?
From the movie,
with the arms growing all out.
From the movie, yeah. The guy with all the arms like out of his chest, and
he had like five arms and like a big warty one.
I don't know. I think the rat's got to be the worst, man, because that's
the rat was funny. At least it's funny.
Yeah, he was right. Like, he was adorable. Like
out of breath when he was out of breath.
Yeah, like so weird. He wasn't even walking. He's just sitting there on his hand.
Yeah, like that. At least the rat would be entertaining.
Yeah, and he was so polite to it. Like he didn't need to hold his arm up. He was just, you know, letting him see.
Yeah, he was petting it.
Yeah,
dude, the giant rat that fucking. On everyone, I was dying, man. That was such a cool little scene, because you were like, okay, the milk is doing what to them? It's just milk, or it's acid, or it's I don't understand what's happening.
And see, and then they have the other guy that's like hunting them the whole time. Which one was he, Matt? There's T5. There's two T5s, right?
There, you know what I'm talking about? I don't know their numbers, but there was the big jacked guy, and then there was like the
dude with the mask,
Emperor Palpatine guy.
Yeah, that guy with the mask. I mean, if I was a fucking, if I was a little kid, like I would love this film. Like the fact that they had that dude, they had the lobster dude. Like they really, I don't know, man. They have a lot of. What did this guy do before? This director, do we know?
I can take a quick look. Let's see.
But see, so what you're saying, Red, is that this movie is basically like the new Shrek, where it's for children and adults.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, sure. What do you
do? Hey, Matt, you're going to trip out.
Wow.
You know that movie that Jacob's been wanting us to do forever and ever and ever called Banana Motherfucker?
That banana one,
This guy did Banana Motherfucker?
He did the special effects for Banana Motherfucker.
Oh, I'm intrigued now.
Like, yeah. So the few movies that he's directed has been Mutant Blast, Turn Your Bloody Phone Off, Banana Motherfucker. He's the co-director. Papa Wrestling is a short that he did in 2009. O-Rim was a short he did in 2008, and Lucky Prime in 2007. So he's done mostly shorts up until Mutant Blast.
Have you seen Banana Motherfucker, Matt?
I have not. Jacob's been trying to get us to watch it for years.
Well, this may be it. This may be the turning point for Banana Motherfucker.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it for Patreon.
Hey, how about also the remotes being screwed up in the whole facility, and he like tried to electrocute one dude and zap the other dude, and then they all were kind of laughing about it. They're like, he killed him, but he wanted to kill you. And he's like,
That whole part was great because they were supposed to just drop regular bombs on, you know, the other sector.
As if that would have been any better.
Yeah. And then he's like, bro, like you pushed the wrong button. He's like, this thing must be wired wrong. And then he electrocutes the wrong guy. It's like, oh, it is wired wrong. That's kind of fucking weird.
Who approved the self-destruct button?
Yeah, right. Who approves the one button sends all the nukes out? That's the really fucked up button that's out there. Goddamn Americans, probably.
Oh my God.
Oh Jesus. Yeah, man. This is kind of it's another one of those trauma movies that is sort of unbelievable in how good it is. I'm kind of surprised yet again.
I'm always amazed when you guys actually like these movies, because like I thought for sure George was gonna hate it.
Why? Like, I mean, you and Alia. It's like.
I guess he's not so predictable, huh?
That's fucking right, Tom.
I got you, dog.
Shit.
Rhett, tag team, me and you versus those guys.
I'll just lean on Tom. You guys are both fucked.
Yeah, they got Tom on that tag team. So
that's all we need.
Yeah, but dude, me and you, we got muscle and hustle, dog. It's me and you.
I'll just be
in the corner just going.
Tom is literally shaking his head at us right now.
That's a quick funny story about like this. A buddy of mine in college, was starting a fight, and I looked at him and I said, "Hey, I'm not beating this dude up if he wants to fight you." And he's like, "Wait, for real?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm not doing it tonight, man." And he goes, "All right, hey buddy, my bad." And he's like, "Let's go." We left. And he was like, just expecting me to do it all.
Yeah, sure.
You were his Nelson Muntz.
I've done it a few times.
That's funny. Yeah, you were telling us a story. We were hanging out last time you were in town at the cigar bar. Something similar to that, where it was like a bunch of dudes. You're like, "Nope, I'm not jumping in. You're stupid.
Yeah, on your own."
Damn. So Mutant Blast, homies.
Hold on. Mutant Blast, too. I like when he's like, "I need 5 minutes to rest." She's like, "No." And he's like, "Well, then I'm just going to lay down and leave." And she's like, "Okay, see you later." She's like, "I just turned her back and was going to go." And then he passed out for 10 hours.
Yeah.
They rescued him with an apple.
They woke up with a band of misfits.
Dude, loved the misfits. I also liked when he like tried to kiss her early when she was like wiping the penis off his face, that he had a description of a cock versus a penis.
Oh my God, dude. I put that as a huge note in here because like I figured we were going to have this discussion about like the difference between a cock and a penis, you know, like
I feel context. Like she covered it for us.
It's just there. So like he wakes up and he's got, you know, she says he has a cock drawn on his face. He's like, "No, it's a penis," because a cock is like a big, veiny, bulgy thing. It's a
big veiny job. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a penis is like cute and artistic and delicate, you know, and he's like, "This is clearly a penis." And, yeah. So, you know, like I kind of agree with what they're saying, you know,
there's less connotations with penis. Like cock has a lot of connotations with it. You got a lot of respect. Yeah. It's something you say when you're in the act, you know?
Yeah. What I mean? Like, it's, you know, a little dirty, like, a little vulgar.
Like you never use the word penis in the act of sex.
Oh yeah. I'm going to do things with my penis. Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that in the act. That would be like, ew, right. That's fucked up. That's fucking
get out of here.
Yeah. I don't want your penis. I want that fucking, you know, wait a
she
minute.
She cut a good promo on him when he tried to kiss her though.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And I understood a little bit of the Portuguese, which was nice.
The Portuguese?
I picked up a few words, but they all sounded Spanish.
Yeah, well, and also that moment later on where, you know, where she does kiss him and she's like, "No, that was more of a Luke Hans, and Leia and kiss instead of a Han and Leia." I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. That's a cool little nod to the rest of us nerds."
But I mean, like, didn't they smash or did they just like kiss?
Luke and Leia?
I'm sorry, what?
No smashing occurred as far
as smashing. No. You fucking what?
Yeah, that's canon. No smash.
No smash. Also, the guy that had all the arms and the lobster, she was like, "What's with those two?
They were definitely fucking.
The lobster and that guy, but
yeah,
he loved Claudine.
Well, dude, you know, dude, yeah. any port in a storm, brother.
They weren't fucking. They had just like been bonded by the tragedy that they had both encountered. You know, like they had bonded over this traumatic incident that they're currently living in, like this pandemic, and how now is a good time to check in on your friends. You know, like
give them a call. I think he knew that Claudine was either dead or not a giant lobster. So, you know, the whole time he's searching for her, I think he knows deep down he's never going to find her. So, yeah, of course.
But he said, "Give her the note, bro."
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got to be hopeful, but I think he's fucking that dude.
The idea of a human presenting a note to a potentially non-mutate, like a normal-sized lobster. It's like
the wedding dress.
It would be my pleasure, mon ami.
Just look for the only lobster in a wedding dress. But she's the most beautiful lobster in like the French corals. Beautiful
right. Lobster. Or she's eaten already. I mean, you know.
Lobsters, according to him, are ready to die any day because they get boiled in pots.
They don't give a fuck.
Did it remind any of you guys of like the early, as far as the tone of it, like the early Peter Jackson stuff?
Yes. Yes. Very dead alive.
Dead alive. Yeah, Bad Taste. I mean, you know, I remember you guys did an episode on that. I have yet to see it, but Dead Alive, I thought of a couple times. I mean, I know it's trauma. It's like classic traumas from what I understand, but it did
Dead
that
Alive?
Vibe.
No, Dead Alive is
no, not Dead Alive. This movie. But then here and there, the tone of it was kind of early Peter Jackson to me. Not not Lord of the Rings Peter Jackson, obviously. That's a different thing. But yeah.
Would y'all have eaten that duck?
I mean, it looked like they said it was the best they'd ever eaten.
It looked right? fucking delicious.
Yeah. It was hell hilarious. Yeah, so I laughed pretty hard when she's like, no, we should let it go. It hasn't done anything. And then it starts gnawing on brother's heart. So they just choke it out and eat it.
I love that, like, almost everything in this world they've created is a threat, you know? Like, and everything just changes because at first you get that big Jack dude and he's kind of like, you know, the star, you think, and the zombies are the threat, and then the zombies are just nothing, and then that guy's dead. And then they switch to, like, the giant possum, and they switch to, like, you know, the fucking duck thing attacking them, and they killed off the first guy, and then there's the new guy with the helmet chasing him, and then the fucking dolphin just comes out of nowhere. Like, he heard...
Well, the dolphin heard the lobster talking shit.
Yeah, he did.
He's coming for that fucking lobster.
He was talking that miles. Good shit. And, you know, for a battle between a samurai dolphin and a giant lobster in a suit, they threw down, man. They didn't give a fuck. Moves. I kind of wish that, like, Jean-Pierre would have picked up his severed claw and stabbed him with that versus his attached claw. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, that's just me wanting to have my cake and eat it, too.
That would have been asking far too much, man.
Yeah, I just need more sprinkles. Put some more fucking sprinkles on that shit.
Give me my motherfucking sprinkles. Cool, man. Well, that's Mutant Blast. We had a blast.
Damn you.
We're not
burning
anymore.
Unfortunately, you can only watch Mutant Blast on the Troma website by going to watch.troma.com. You can rent it for $6 or you can buy it in HD for $15 or in 4K for like $20.
I think the rental is a no-brainer, and you may even want to purchase it to rewatch it.
Yeah, because
I agree.
I think buy it because you're going to want to show your friends.
Hell yeah.
On that note, too. You're
going to want to watch it again. Yeah, this is twice.
Yeah, this is one where I think we'll quickly develop a pretty ardent fan base. I would be surprised if that were not the case. Especially if and when they make it available on any other streaming site, you know, where it's readily accessible. This is a word of mouth thing for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it deserves that. I would love to eventually go see this at midnight with some like-minded goofballs for sure. You know,
I was kind of worried that this was going to kind of suffer from, you know, the festival syndrome, where since I'm watching it with a group of people who really want to be there and they're all seeing it for the first time, that, like, it's more special, you know, like, because everybody's laughing together and it's just more of a communal thing. So, like, I worried that it was going to suffer watching it by myself. Right. It did not.
It's the new, it's new, The Room. So
no.
Yeah.
Have you watched The Room, Tom?
Yeah.
Like the
with Tommy Wiseau,
the really bad one.
Why is it bad?
Well, I mean,
fucking masterpiece.
I personally have not seen it, but I mean, like, the bad one, you know, like the subjectively bad one.
Fucking hilarious. It's the funniest movie I've ever seen. It's the funniest film. Yep. I agree, sir. See, you have a sophisticated guest on. See, I knew it.
He's got a very good palate when it comes to films, apparently. Oh, shit. All right. Well, that's Mutant Blast. Matt Smith, what are we doing next, man?
Is it Blood Quantum Red or is it Blood Machines?
We were talking about Blood Machines, but there's so much stuff circling around now. I didn't know if you guys wanted to discuss that, but either of those would, I think, be good choice. But Blood Machines comes out next week on Shudder. So Blood Quantum is currently on Shudder. There's a lot of good buzz about that. So we can kind of,
maybe it'll be Blood Quantum. Maybe it'll be that ghost movie on Shudder Tom was talking about.
Yeah.
There's the Get In one, the French one.
I didn't hit her. I didn't hit her.
I did not.
I did not.
We should do that. And people have asked for us to do a Patreon of The Room, too.
So. I'll do it, dude. I don't give a fuck.
Do both of them.
Matt's the one.
Yeah. Tom, you know what? I'll do The Room for Patreon if you come do The Room for Patreon.
Oh, God.
Deal. There. Boom.
Deal. He said deal.
You,
so
you should do it just because you put me through the dark song.
Bro,
there it goes.
You know,
fair is fair.
I don't know if you could hear me, but, like, when we were in Belgium, I kept yelling at the top of my lungs.
Oh, I heard you.
Your taste in horror movies is questionable at best. That was my heckle. That was my heckle.
He loves the Green Inferno.
Yep. Green Inferno sucks, Corbin.
All right, Tom.
Well, nobody gets it, but it's funny to me.
It entertains me as well.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit there, brother.
Always.
Thank you.
And we'll do a Patreon of the room.
Oh, shit. Don't
hell fucking
it's yeah. There. It's there. It's out in the ether now. So
don't threaten me with a good time.
Tom is committed to it. I've said I'll do it if Tom does it. So
I don't give a fuck. I'll do whatever dumb movie you send.
To patreon.com/whogoesthere podcast and hear that shit.
All right. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 2. I don't know what episode it is. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
This is the King.
Yeah. I'm out, bitch. All right, cool.
Where can they find you on social media, your Twitch and all that stuff?
Baron Corbin WWE on Instagram and Twitter. And then the Sweet on Twitch.
How many E's is that?
Now you're gonna make me like use my brain. It's the Sweets Live. That's what our channel is called.
Hell yeah.
All right. Liarsclub.com.
Liars Club. We got a new merch distributor, so we got new stuff coming from Liars Club, which is going to be great. Come on, eBay. Here we go. It is twitch.tv/THESWEETZLIVE, The Sweets Live.
Nice. Cool, yeah. Man. We're growing the Twitch family even further.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, boys. We'll see you next week, and I hate your fucking guts. Bye, idiots.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.